After weeks of preparation, congressional committees have begun hearings on Enron, the politically connected energy trading company that went bankrupt in December. There were two Enron hearings yesterday, and the scandal has improved chances for a House vote on campaign finance reform. NPR's Peter Overby reports.
At the House Commerce Subcommittee on Investigations, the star witness was David Duncan. He was the Arthur Andersen firm's lead auditor for Enron, until it was revealed that his staff had destroyed Enron audit documents and he was fired. Pennsylvania Republican James Greenwood is the subcommittee chairman.
Mr. Duncan, Enron robbed the bank. Arthur Andersen provided the getaway car, and they say you were at the wheel.
But Duncan claimed his Fifth Amendment rights and refused to testify. Other Andersen officials did testify. They tried to blame Duncan alone for the shredding. The subcommittee came down hard on them, too. Colorado Democrat Diana DeGette asked Andersen attorney Nancy Temple if the company had been worried about civil lawsuits as Enron fell apart last October.
I don't recall that being a focus of discussion. Or
no, I don't want to talk about a focus of discussion. I mean, you're a Harvard-trained lawyer, you're a litigator, you're an SEC expert. All the things we've been talking to, you knew there might be a risk of litigation, didn't you?
I knew there was a possibility of litigation.
Thank you. But we didn't.
Greenwood's subcommittee hearing was just a prelude to a hearing of the full House Commerce Committee. Yesterday, Commerce Chairman Billy Tozan, a Louisiana Republican, delayed that hearing so investigators can pursue reports that Enron employees were destroying documents, too. On the other side of the Capitol, the first committee out of the gate is Governmental Affairs, the most aggressive investigative committee in the Senate. Chairman Joseph Lieberman, a Democrat from Connecticut, brought in experts to discuss why, as he put it, the watchdogs weren't watching. The panel was especially vexed by what to do about the accounting industry and the way it polices itself. For instance, Andersen was both an Enron consultant and its ostensibly independent auditor. Ranking Republican Fred Thompson of Tennessee suggested the scandal shows a breakdown of industry standards.
It looks to me like one could make the case that the era of self-regulation should be over.
But the main witness, former Securities and Exchange Commission Chairman Arthur Levitt, doubted that Congress could write new regulations that would fix things.
I have found several areas of public policy in which the political process simply does not work. One is closing military bases, and the other is setting accounting standards.
Despite this ponderous start, Lieberman said the committee will move forcefully. He plans to develop reform proposals for accounting and for corporate governance. He also wants to look at performance and political pressure in federal regulatory agencies.
We will also issue written interrogatories to the agencies of the federal government that have had jurisdiction over Enron and to the White House to determine what they knew and did regarding Enron's regulation over the last several years.
This is more than a little ironic. Lieberman and most of the members on every one of the 11 investigating committees got money from Enron, Andersen, or Enron's biggest creditor, Citigroup. Enron gave to both sides, but favored Republicans, especially the Bush presidential campaign. Now the company seems to come up in every argument for campaign finance reform, like the one made yesterday by Republican Congressman Zach Womp of Tennessee.
If you can look at the Enron case and not see the influence that soft money can bring, you're blind or you just will not acknowledge the truth. We have to bring about reform.
Yesterday afternoon, reform advocates got the last signatures they needed on a petition to bring their bill to a vote in the House. The final signers were two Democrats and two Republicans. The reformers' success is an embarrassment for House Speaker Dennis Hastert, who'd been blocking the bill. But they are getting the attention of their colleagues in both parties when they say this is a way to remove the stain left by Enron's money. Peter Overby, NPR News, Washington.